So we are concluding the final one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I know you've all been waiting on this one. You have all said, I can't wait. Thank you for love, but Lord, I can't wait to get to self-control. There, could you put the PowerPoint up? And as we have discovered, the fruit of the Spirit is more than just an attitude. Well, I'm going to love more. I'm going to have more self-control. I'm going to have more joy. It's more than just that attitude or that desire. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is a result of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And so the way that we are going to see the fruit of the Spirit in our life is by spending time with Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. It comes through staying close to Jesus. What is in us will come out. Do you know there's a verse that says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so God is working in us to work through us, that we would just show the gifts of the Holy Spirit to our world around us, to our neighbours, to our friends. Our city, our world needs love, the love of God. It needs joy. It needs patience and kindness and compassion. It needs all of these. And how does that happen? Through the pastor. No, it's through you. It's through you and I. So what is in us will flow out of us. There's a guy called Henry Wingblade. There's a name. He says that the Christian personality is hidden deep inside us. It is unseen, like soup carried in a tureen high over a waiter's head, and no one knows what's inside unless the waiter is bumped and trips. And just so, people don't know what's inside us until we've been bumped. But if Christ is living inside of us, what spills out is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What's spilling out of you today? What's spilling out of you today? And so we're going to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 24, which has been our verses for these past few weeks. So Galatians chapter 5. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Paul discovered that the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And so it's that tension. Have many of us feel that? Just me, then. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. Whoa, what a lot there is there. And for those that are saying, well, good, that's great, I never said mine. Let me tell you, it says here, and other sins like these. God's even put a miscellaneous in there. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Self-control. What is self-control? Have you got what it takes to be self-controlled? Many saying this morning, I should never have had that cake this morning. How do we constantly or consistently walk in self-control? Will we master it? Who knows? Self-control made up of two Greek words, en kratos, which means in strength. In strength. What is people saying? What does people say about what self-control is there? Self-control is the discipline of mind, heart, and life that grows when we increasingly choose to die and to die to self and live for Christ and others. Self-control means having power over your body's desires and passions. Ray Steadman says that self-control, the ability to manage one's impulses, emotions, and behaviors to achieve long-term goals. The ability to regulate one's emotions, thoughts, and behaviors in the face of temptations and impulses. Self-control. Self-control. What does the Bible say about self-control? Well, in Proverbs, it says that better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. So self-control is pretty important there. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Do you know, we are living in times when our world have no self-control. Many of us manage to be self-controlled in some areas of our life, but not self-control in other areas of our life. Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, he tells Timothy, Timothy, this is what it's going to be like in the last days. Do you know, this is what's going to happen in our world. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. We are experiencing difficult times, and there will be more difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander one another and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that God could make, or that could make them godly. And then it says, stay away from people like this. And I've just added, let's not be people like this. Do you know, our world needs men and women, Christians, who will flow against the tide of the way that this world is going. And let me tell you, it is so easy, isn't it? It is difficult. I'm finding even in these days, it's difficult being a Christian. Difficult to follow Jesus in all of his ways, surrendering our life. And trying to live a Christian life in our world today is difficult. But God has given us his Holy Spirit. Amen. Working in us and through us. How do we keep from yielding, giving in to the acts of the sinful nature? It's self-control. And there's another word I want to throw in there, self-discipline. Do you know, I believe we've got to discipline our lives. Do you know, like a runner. Paul talks, doesn't he, in the New Testament about a runner, how he trains and how he has to watch what he eats. He uses or develops his muscles. Do you know, when I was a runner many years ago, when I trained 6 days a week, do you know, I had to watch what I was eating. I had to train every day up at 6 a.m. Did I want to get up? No, I didn't. When it was snowing outside, do you know, did I want to get up? No. When my friend, I knew he was coming to collect me at 6 o'clock, and I'm thinking, God, let him sleep in. God, let him sleep in. Let him sleep in. And then, oh, he's here. Okay, I'll get up. But it's that discipline. It's a self-discipline that we could come into that self-control. Not just a determination to do something on our own. I mean, we can try with willpower, but we need Holy Spirit power if we are going to do it. And let me say just again, one of the things that could happen in our lives, that we just start to go down in that guilt trip. I just can't do it. It's impossible. I failed so many times. Am I going to do it again? Why bother trying? Because it just doesn't, I just can't seem to do it. Then keep going. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a grace. Do you know, one of the things that I have built into my life, and I no longer make, do you know, again, we live by grace, not the law. And so my one piece of advice is, don't make a law, because you'll break it. How many of us says, I'm going to pray every day for the next week? And we break it. What's the first thing that comes in? Guilt. God, I can't even do that. And so we determine, I'm going to do this. Okay, next week, I'm going to fast. You wake up Monday morning, oh, that means no breakfast. Okay, I'll do it next week. Guilt. God, I can't even do that. But one of the things that I'm building into my life, my prayer is, God, today, would you give me the grace just to live for you? I don't make any laws or anything. I'm going to do that. I'll just say, God, I need your grace today to show love, to show compassion, to please you, to love you, to be the example that you have asked me to be. God, I need your grace. I need your grace. So don't allow the enemy just to bring guilt and condemnation into your life. If we are going to live self-controlled lives, it has to be Holy Spirit controlled. And we need to ask ourselves, I'm asking today for you to ask yourself, who controls your life? Who or what rules your life today? You know, don't look back at the past mistakes. Don't look back at the past mistakes and keep looking back, because they will just stop you from moving forward. As I said, as you look back and see where you have failed, it can hold you back from moving forward, because you have that in your mind. Yeah, I failed before, I will fail again. Do you know, when Annette and I, we failed with our finances, bankrupt, house taken off us. Do you know, how were we going to handle our finances? Do you know, whenever we were thinking buying a house, are we going to lose it again? Are we going to... I was never good with finances. And so I had that mindset that I will never be good with finances. But you know, the grace of God. Do you know what I mean? And the church that I worked for before says, can you do all the finances? What, me? I mean, and God uses things to train you up so we have overcome that, because it's the grace of God. I don't spend. Do you know, again, with that discipline, I think temptation feeds on the emotions. Temptation feeds on the emotions. I was an emotional chocolate eater. Whenever I felt down, Bar a Galaxy. I've told you before. I mean, and it wasn't just your 90 pence bar. It wasn't just the £1.15 one. You need to go bigger. And I would scoff that, trying to feed something that was just emotionally low in my life. And you know, it would be for a while, wow, that was so good. Maybe I should have gave Annette a piece. But she's so self-disciplined and self-controlled, she would have refused anyway. And you just feel, for some others, it's shopping. Let's just go and spend something. Do you know what I mean? I believe even through COVID, Amazon were wise. Amazon were so wise, they kept going. And you know, when we feel low, we feel down, do you know, go online, click, it's here the next day. Don't I feel good? Don't I feel good? I mean, between Annette and I and my neighbours, everybody thought that we had an Amazon depot at our building. Every day, Amazon drivers trying to feel good. Food, sex, pornography, feeding that inner emotional low that's in our lives. And the only person that can satisfy our lives is the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. It is Jesus. And he's the one that brings that self-control where we can say, no, I don't need that. I don't need that chocolate. I no longer say, as I'm leaving home from church, oh, I need chocolate. Our voice now is, oh, thank God for your blessing, God. So, Adverts will focus in on your needs, your emotional needs. Bigger car, bigger house. Self-control, if that's to grow in our lives, we can't rely on our feelings. We read in James chapter 1, it says, temptation comes from our own destructive desires which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So it's the desires that's in us. Do you know, Galatians chapter 5 talks about the tension between the Holy Spirit and the works of the flesh. And there is a battle. They are contrary to one another. What the Spirit wants, the flesh doesn't want. What the flesh wants, the Spirit doesn't want. And it is, who is controlling? Who are we going to give into? Temptation or the Holy Spirit? Self-control or uncontrolled? How do we live self-controlled lives? What is the secret to that success? I think we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional about coming before God, about spending time in his word, and not just reading it, actually loving it. Loving it. John Maxwell said, success doesn't just happen. It has to be intentional about it. You have to be intentional about it. And that takes discipline. I don't have the physique I have today. It doesn't just happen. I've got to work at this body. We've got to be intentional if we want to see change in our life. We've got to be intentional if we want to live lives in self-control. One of the things I said many times before is I walk down the sweets aisle at Tesco or Asda, I turn to the chocolate and say, you are not my friend. You are not my friend. I am now in a place where chocolate doesn't really do for me, but there's other things. that are still my friends. And I need to break the friendship. But we're all in a journey. We're all in a journey. Addictions, drink, alcohol, whatever. We need the Word of God. And we need the Spirit of God. Amen. And the good news is that when you become a Christian, God gives you the Holy Spirit to help you, to guide you, to lead you. But we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit. And sometimes that's hard. Walking, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. The great struggle for the believer is between the sinful nature and the Spirit. But when we give our lives to Christ, our sinful nature, Jesus says, the Word of God says, has been crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. Again, I've got that in my journal, and I have to say that daily. God, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Stephen Holmes no longer lives, but Christ lives in me. It's Christ lives in me. It's His presence. It's His power. It's His Holy Spirit that lives in me. There is no point in giving a dead person a bar of chocolate. They're not going to eat it. They're dead. Or in Glasgow, we say they're dead. But as long as we are breathing, we will be tempted. We will be open to being uncontrolled in areas of our life unless we come before God and say, God, I need your grace. I need your grace to walk this day. Not just the week. God, I need your grace for today. Romans chapter 6. By no means we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. In the same way, reckon yourselves, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. Do you know, it's why I will always promote baptism. You know, baptism doesn't save us, but baptism is a symbol symbolizing what has happened in our lives. You know, as Jesus went into the grave and was 3 days and then rose again to new life, the old gone, the new has come. So when we baptize, that is symbolizing, as we have given our life to Christ, when we go into those waters for 3 days. 3 seconds, by the way. The old has gone and the new has come. Walking in that newness of life. I read a brochure, someone gave me a brochure on George Muller. I read his story. Oh, I was so blessed. And he says this. Someone asked him, what's your secret, George, about walking with God? And he replied, there was a day when I utterly died. And as he spoke, he bent lower and lower until he almost touched the floor. I died to George Muller. I died to his opinions. I died to his preferences. I died to his tastes. I died to his will. I died to the world. I died to its approval or its disapproval. I died to the approval or the blame of even my brothers and sisters and my friends. And since then, I have studied to show myself approved by God. It's a surrender. It's a surrender. Jesus had self-control. Do you know how many times or when he said, do you know, I could call down legions of angels and get me out of here. Do you know, Father, if this cup could pass me by, do you know what I mean? Self-control. I would have, yeah, let it pass. But not my will, but yours be done. That was self-control. Temptation with the devil in the wilderness. Eat this. Throw yourself off. Do you know that Jesus could have proved himself? But he held back. He didn't need to. He didn't need to. He didn't need to prove himself because he was approved by God. He was approved by God. So, finally, it's only as we yield control to God through the Holy Spirit that we will gain the victory over the desires of our lives. And let me tell you, we want some of this. Sin is pleasurable. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. It is. This world will offer so much. But living a life in the power and being led by the Holy Spirit takes a lot of self-control and a lot of discipline. So, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, when we get bumped, or we trip up, what spills out is Holy Spirit. Let's live according to the Spirit and not in the flesh. But self-control is through the Holy Spirit. I've said enough. Come on, let's stand. I'm not going to have a final song. I'm just going to pray a blessing over us. Is that okay? Sorry, Thorny, I thought you were saying, no, I'm going to sing another song. The kids will be coming out, so please collect your kids. But let me pray a blessing over us. Come on, why don't you, if you're comfortable, put your hands out. Just receive. Father, we thank you just for this journey that we've been on of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, today I am asking that when we get bumped, when we trip up, that what flows out of us is the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, what flows out of us is that self-control, where we will not react, but that we will respond as Christ would respond. And Lord, we acknowledge today that that can only happen through your power, through the Holy Spirit. In our own flesh, Lord, we want revenge. We want justice. But Lord, today I am asking that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would fill us to overflowing, Lord. And we pray that we would indeed be a blessing to our neighbors, to our city. Lord God, thank you for all that you have did this morning. And Lord, I am asking that you will bless our tea and coffee and our fellowship together. Lord, I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a fantastic week. And enjoy the sun. And enjoy your day.